You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
That you're awesome. I'm glad I'm not a possum, cause I'm awesome. And that's awesome with Joe.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 28 of That's Awesome with Joe. I'm Joe. Thank you guys for tuning in. I know it's been about a month, maybe a little less than a month since I've put out an episode, but we took some time off for the holidays. Josh and I just spend some time with family. I was home on the East Coast, flew in early December to avoid traveling when everyone else was, and then flew back here January 7th, I want to say, so after everyone else had flew home from then too. So doing my best to maintain social distancing, but definitely wanted to get home and see family, go back to the cold, see some snow. There was one day where it snowed, I think it was like 3.5-4 feet overnight when I was up in New Hampshire. It was pretty nuts. So yeah, thanks for sticking with us and coming back in, and we'll be back to our weekly episodes now. For this week's episode, this was a fun one for me. We had Keith Wallen from Breaking Benjamin on, formerly of Adelita's Way, and who's also just released some stuff for his solo project. So we had a lot to talk about. Keith is probably the most tenured musician I've had on so far. So he's had quite a career professionally in music, probably over the last 20 years or so. And he's got quite a story too. So this was a fun one because, again, even though, you know, he's progressed further along in his career or has had quite a lengthy one, he's really sunk in and found himself in a pretty sweet spot. I think the story that he has is pretty consistent with a lot of the other ones, with how him getting into the position that he's been in is really just about, you know, making the connections with people early on in your career and capitalizing on them and being just a genuinely good person to be around. So I had a lot of fun with it. I thoroughly enjoy Keith's solo music as well. So make sure you do check it out. It did just come out, and we reference it in the episode, and you will hear one of the songs immediately after I finish talking, which is now. So I'm going to send it over to the interview.
Out on the coldest side of the moon, seeking a way to get back to you.
And I'm here with Keith Wallen. Keith, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This is our first episode back after a long, I guess we'll call it holiday break. So this is one we've been looking forward to for a while. So I'm glad we can come back and kind of hear your story and hear what you've been up to. But first off, if you wouldn't mind just kind of doing a quick intro for yourself, letting everyone know who you are, where you're from, and kind of what you do. That's cool.
Sure. Yeah. I'm Keith. Grew up in West Virginia, moved to Tennessee in my late teens, went to college there, started my first band in Knoxville, and had that band for about 8 years, and eventually joined a band called Adelita's Way for about 4 years. And then that led me to my current band, Breaking Benjamin, and I've been with them for 5 years, going on 6 years, which is crazy to say because it feels like it was just yesterday. But yeah,
So you've had quite the the journey here. It's when did you kind of start taking music seriously?
I'd say I was probably in high school. A friend of mine played guitar, and you know, I'd go over to his house, and you know, he'd always be just like, you know, putting on, you know, Van Halen and all kinds of, you know, awesome guitar, you know, bands and music. And he was like, check this out. I learned this riff. And I was like, dang, that's cool. You know, I need to learn how to play guitar.
Right. Yeah.
And so I eventually got just like this old practice acoustic guitar. And, you know, and he would like show me, you know, how to play certain things. And, you know, it really was a lot of fun for me. Mm-hmm. And we eventually kind of kept playing and eventually started a band. Yeah.
Gotcha. So it kind of came from just wanting to play an instrument more so than, or did, would you say like, were you always into music even when you were younger?
Yeah, definitely. I've always loved music. And I never really, like my dad, like way back in the day, he used to be, a singer. Mm-hmm. And so I never really kind of thought about it. But then once I did kind of think about it, I was like, wow, well, that kind of makes sense. He did it. Maybe I could try and do it. And he was, you know, super supportive and was really just kind of stoked about the idea.
Yeah.
So, but it's one of those things.
Find that to be a pretty big help.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, the support I've got from my family has been invaluable, and it's and I realize that's not always the case with people, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It's like how do you tell somebody one day, like, I think I want to be in a band, you know? It's probably like a lot of parents' worst nightmare. They're like, oh gosh, can't you just, you know, be an accountant or an engineer?
Did you have like, I didn't really have any reservations about talking to my parents about that. They were always super supportive, but I heard from a close friend of mine how difficult it was for him to tell his parents, like, oh, I'm not going to do the college route and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, they told me, they basically said, look, if you go to college, they at least wanted me to do that. They were like, if you go to college, we'll support you with whatever you want to do. So I did do that. But, you know, the whole time in college, I'm sitting there in lectures and, you know, sitting there trying to write lyrics and thinking about band practice.
Right.
You know, the gears were turning constantly.
Right, right. And what band was it that you said that you had? Was this the band that you had? Did you end up touring with this band that you were in at that time?
Just kind of regionally. The band was called Copper. And
right, that's what it was, Copper.
Yeah, we just kind of played just kind of around the area, Knoxville, you know, East Tennessee, Atlanta, Nashville, Chattanooga.
Did you? I remember there was a place I used to play in Knoxville years ago. Something Saloon.
Long Branch Saloon.
Yes. Long Branch Saloon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That place was pretty wild.
Yeah, it was interesting. We played there one time, and I was like, all right, well, we can say we played this place. It was a cool place, but I was like, I don't know if this is our
clientele. It was like upstairs, right?
Yeah, it was like this little room upstairs, yep.
Yeah, I think we stayed for an open mic, like a open mic comedy night afterward, and our drummer got like blackout drunk and went up and tried to do comedy and got like heckled off the stage.
Oh my gosh.
It was great.
We had a similar kind of thing. I mean, it wasn't negative heckling, but it was kind of like positive heckling, but like overbearing just too much. Like we were playing,
oh, really?
one of our band members' friends were there, and he was so drunk, he was just like, y'all gonna blow up, dude. You guys are just, like every
I got you.
Every song we were like, yo, we need to thank you, dude, but tone it down a little bit.
Right. Oh man, that's so awkward. You never know how to approach those situations. Uh-uh. Like a little overbearing, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's tricky. So that was like the first kind of segue for you into, you know, trying to make a band bigger than just being a band, like taking it on the road and gaining fans and all that stuff. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much. Those were the MySpace days.
You know, we interesting eventually, times.
Oh, it really was. And really a precursor to where we are now, you know, social media is everywhere now, of course. But, you know, back then it was kind of a new thing. And, you know, really trying to.
It was great for bands.
Oh yeah,
I miss the MySpace days for bands.
Yeah, it was really good. We put our work in too. We, you know, every birthday we'd get on there, you know, happy birthday. And, you know, that was a daily thing.
Remember how like you could, I remember like, I don't know why this is all flooding back to me now, but Josh, this is like before your time, I think, but like, custom like MySpace themes and backgrounds and stuff. Do you remember all that stuff? It's crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
You like pay like hundreds of dollars to these designers that could make, you know, all use all your artwork for stuff. It's just a totally different way of marketing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good old
that's my tangent on technology. So yeah, so you were with Copper and when did that kind of, I don't know if you'd say come to an end, but what, how did that kind of close that chapter?
So it was, I was in that band from 2000 to 2008.
Oh wow, so pretty long time.
Yeah, it was a good bit of time. Pretty much my whole 20s, and we played regionally. We played a bunch of showcases for various labels, and for whatever reason, just couldn't get over the hump, couldn't get to that next level. And you know, after a while, after you know various member changes over the years, it was just kind of like, I don't think this is going to go anywhere. And you know, which was hard. It was,
yeah,
it was tough because I mean, my whole life had been, you know, revolved and completely immersed in that band and that project. That, you know, it was my baby.
Yeah,
and,
it's a hard thing. Tough, to
but
with.
It was tough. I don't know. I felt like I had to make an adult decision and you know, move on and try some kind of other alternate route.
Did you think like maybe this was the end of music for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I definitely did. I was thinking, I was like, well, you know, I love to write songs. Maybe I could move to Nashville and just try to meet some people and maybe start another band, but just really focus on writing and just be on that side of things. But yeah, it didn't turn out that way either.
Right. Yeah. That same experience with me when my band broke up that I had like spent, I guess it was maybe 8 or 9 years. Yeah. 8 or 9 years, like touring consistently, showcases, all that stuff, and just kind of ran its course. It's tough to say goodbye to that though, you know, when you sink all that effort and time into something.
Oh, it was. And I remember we had played a show somewhere in South Carolina, and after the show, even during the show, I knew that I was done and I hadn't told anybody yet.
And okay, so this wasn't like the band was playing like a final show thing. This was like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah, it was just like, I just can't do it anymore, you know? And so we, you know, after the show, I just kind of talked to the band and just told them, and it was super tough. Gosh, it was like, it was like breaking up with somebody, really, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that sucks. But yeah, I've been there. But ultimately, would you say positive decision?
I think so. I think we had reached about, you know, the pinnacle of where we were going to be, where we were going to get. And I felt like any other time and resources and emotions spent would have just been us spinning our tires. And, you know, and I was really good friends with these guys, and I wanted to stay friends with them.
Right.
I didn't want it to, you know, go down a toxic path of just us all resenting each other and stuff. So, you know, like I said, I felt like I needed to make an adult decision.
Yeah. But it looks like you guys did some, I'm just on your Wikipedia right now, just reading a little bit. Like you had some pretty great supporting slots and everything. It looked like even in the career, but ultimately you would say like wasn't successful or whatever. You had some pretty big highs, it looks like.
For sure. There were some definite highlights. You know, we made it farther than I would have thought.
Time runs its course.
It does. It does. Yeah. I mean, I definitely look back at it with fondness. I look back
at it,
man, those were the good old days. Like I don't have any regrets or anything. You know, it's kind of time to do something else.
Yeah. And so how did that lead to you joining? Because it wasn't long after that that you ended up joining Adelita's Way, right?
Correct. Yes. I had a few mutual friends. One of them, his name was Greg Johnson. And I believe he's at Columbia now. But at the time, he worked for Atlantic. And he really just really liked our band. And after the band was kind of done, you know, I kept in contact with him, and you know, he hit me up one day and he's like, hey, there's this band, they're, you know, kind of looking for a rhythm guitar player, backup vocalist, you know, would this be something you'd be interested in? He's like, they're signed, you know, they're, you know, just kind of getting started. Mm-hmm. And I was like, sure. And I was also friends with, you know, one of their producers, and I think their A&R guy, and they all kind of helped kind of put us all together. And I got an audition, went up, auditioned in Chicago, and ended up getting the gig and, you know, playing with those guys for a while.
Yeah. It's funny. Like these are the moments that I think I get the most comments or questions about, is like how those relationships that you have from like previous projects or previous times in your life just happen to give you this opportunity to, you know, it completely changes the trajectory of your life, right? Without even knowing that these, you know, individuals that you meet would, or that there's any possibility of that happening. Like you were saying, like,
exactly,
you were, it might have been the end of music for you, and then all of a sudden you get a call about a band that's on the up and up, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's true. You know, you said it exactly right. You just never know. You know, but it's really, I'm really thankful and really grateful that, you know, I've always had some really good friends and people that I've confided in, and people that's been supportive. So it's always good, right, to have a good support network, you know, even, yeah, if it's, you know, in music or without music, you know, it all helps.
Yeah. And it's also just like, you know, there's too many people out there that get wrapped up in their own immediate success or like whatever's happening in the moment and don't have the foresight to see like, oh, I shouldn't maybe act this way in front of these people at some point. Right. Do you know what I mean? Like basically just don't be a dick and then think like people will like you and want to help you out with stuff. Right.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, yeah. It's like I've seen the various musicians, you know, that have not been super nice. You know, whether it's just like local bands or whatever, that you're just like, man, that guy is just wrapped up in his world.
Right.
And, yeah. You know, I never wanted to be like that. So,
yeah. And I find that, you know, the more people I talk to, especially, on this podcast, and the more I hear the stories, it is really remarkable how many people find success just because of, you know, exactly like your story. Like even myself, the only reason I ended up in Ice Nine Kills is because me and Spencer have been close for so long and I had been assisting them with writing in the background and everything. And then one day I get, after 4 years of quitting music, getting a call to join. I mean, hesitantly I did, but you know what I mean? It's just like, if you're a good person and people like working with you, you'll get the opportunities.
Yeah, it's lots of times, you know, that will open more doors than just talent, you know?
Right. Exactly. Like being a good, I've said this before, like being a person that is good to tour with, I find more important, honestly, than, you know, just pure musicianship.
Yeah, definitely. You got to be a good hang. That's for sure.
Yeah. Or just not a bad hang.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? All right, cool. So what was that like joining that band? How was it going into something where you didn't really know any of the members?
It was, you know, terrifying in its own little way. You know, it's just I'm used to this whole other thing and I'm just kind of thrown into this completely different world, new people, mm-hmm. new music, new experiences, new tours, new,
right.
But new possibilities, you know? So, you know, I just jumped in.
Were you writing with them immediately?
Not immediately. I believe when I first joined, their debut album was pretty much already written and recorded. And, yeah. So it was just kind of like, you know, the touring cycle was just kind of starting. So,
gotcha.
But yeah, yeah, later on, you know, we started to write a little bit and I was included in that a little bit. So that was cool.
So what was like, you were in that band for, what was it, like 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, it's like 4 years, I think.
Yeah, and what was like the highlights of that experience? I'm just looking at some of these bands that you've toured with.
Pretty
nuts.
Yeah, we had a few number one songs when I was in the band.
Yeah.
Which was super cool. I'd never been a part of a project that, you know, had quote unquote number one.
Right.
So that was kind of neat. And
yeah, that's the way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool. But also just the tours that we were playing, you know, we were playing with so many bands that I looked up to and, meeting these people and just, you know, hanging out with them on a daily basis. It was just like, wow, this is super cool. But it's always funny because you always have it in the back of your head. You're like, someone's going to tell me that I'm not supposed to be here at some point. <You know? laughs> It's like,
this is an accident. I'm a mistake. Yeah.
Like am I just faking it here? But,
honestly, dude, I don't mean to like blow smoke or anything, but like the first moment that I felt like that being in Ice Nine was when Ice Nine played with you guys at Rock Fest, I want to say.
Yeah,
and like we played early on. Yeah, we played earlier, and then I watched you guys. I was like, we have no business being here right now.
Oh, like, no, whatever. Shit. I watched you guys. I was.
Did you?
Yeah, I was on stage left, and I watched your all's whole set because.
Cool.
Because you know we had never played together. I don't think.
No.
And so I was like, man, I want to check these guys out. And
thank you. That's great.
Yeah. It was, so which one were you?
I'm the crow.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. It's funny though, because that I remember that show. Like 3 days earlier, our guitar player had put his tuning peg through my cheek.
Oh,
so I didn't have the full face paint on. I could only do half. So no one knew what I was at all.
Dang. It's all part. part of the show. It's just makeup.
Right. Well, that's the thing is like when I was bleeding out of my face for like 10 songs straight. Everyone just thought it was makeup, and I was like, no, I need to go get stitches.
Like, wow, your all special effects are so awesome.
Yeah.
I also love how you're not the bass player, you're just the crow.
Yeah, I know. No one actually calls me the bass. No one knows even what I play. I'm just the character now.
That's great.
But there's a blessing in that because I can take off the makeup and then go stand. I prefer watching bands from the crowd than on the stage. Just for a sound.
Yeah, totally.
And so I always just take the makeup off and no one knows who I am. And I just go hang by the sound booth or something, you know. It's a great trick.
Hey, same here, except I don't have to wear makeup. I just walk out there and no one knows who I am anyway. So.
Yeah, well, we're not lead singers. So. All right. So, man, what was it? I'm going to ask you a couple specific ones here just because I'm curious. What was it like? Did you tour with Deftones or did you just play with them?
Yeah, we just played a festival with them once. It was
they're like bucket list for me.
Oh man, they're so awesome. I think it was a Carolina Rebellion one year. I think
it's
called something else now, but
yeah, I only know what is that though. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was either that or Rock on the Range. I can't remember, but yeah, I was like, I'm counting this. We played with Deftones. This definitely counts.
Yeah, that's huge. And then Guns N' Roses too.
Yeah, that was a crazy thing. Also, obviously, it was before you know the major reunion with Slash and everybody. But you know, I think it was Axl. What was the other guitar player at the time?
Was it the
DJ Ashba? That was
Yep.
Yeah, so we, somehow we got invited to play in Vegas with them on New Year's Eve, like two nights in a row.
Wow.
And that was definitely a bucket list kind of thing. It was cool. I remember we were backstage, we were loading in on the first day, and Axl comes in and he like kind of walks by, and we were all just like, holy shit, that's Axl Rose.
Pretty nuts, right?
This is real. So, but it was cool.
Isn't it interesting? Like when you guys would play, and forgive me for not knowing this, in Adelita's Way, what kind of size clubs were you guys playing in?
It was usually like kind of like House of Blues.
Right. And so going from that and then going to like, that's what I had assumed, but going from that to playing with Guns N' Roses in Vegas, was that like arenas?
Yeah, it was a place called The Joint. at Hard Rock.
I'm always just there's these like moments that I have where I get kind of like, whoa, I didn't expect that we were doing something this big. And it's always with the size of the stage, not necessarily the room.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it's it's like, wow, there's so much room for activities on this stage.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, I don't know how bands like can make it, because you see a band like, I mean, even you guys like Breaking Ben, you see a band like that on a stage that big fill up the whole space. Right.
Right.
And totally. That's what makes it so cool and impactful. But like, you know, when a band like Ice Nine, for example, or even my old band goes and plays this place that's bigger, it kind of makes our like stuff look a little rinky dink and everything. So those are those moments where I'm like, this is fucking cool that like this place is this big and we're putting our little stuff on it, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. We definitely had that feeling. And even some of the, you know, the tours, kind of in the later half when I was with them, just, you know, we did like an Uproar tour with some huge bands and it was the same kind of thing, you know, our little half stacks and everything just kind of in front of this monstrosity of production.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a cool feeling. And honestly, you know, I like it. I like the, excitement of it. It was like,
oh,
wow,
me too.
You know, it's like, whoa, these are the playoffs. It's like, there's a lot more riding on this. Let's do it. You know?
Right. It feels like a much more important thing. Let's see here. So how did the Adelita's Way chapter come to a close then?
So around the end of that time, I guess it was 2013, it was a similar kind of thing. I kind of felt like I just needed to kind of do something else.
So this was just you making the decision again?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of was just, I don't know. I just didn't feel like I was super happy out on tour and it was just kind of affecting my mental health and
got it.
You know, I was just
like monotonous?
I mean, not so much that. I mean, yeah, a little bit of that. I don't know. I guess I don't know. I wanted to do something else for a while. I felt like I had done it long enough. And you know, those guys are awesome and super talented and they're still out there, you know, doing their thing.
I booked a tour for them when I was a booking agent, maybe right after you left.
Oh, gotcha.
I think I could be wrong, but somewhere around that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, like, so you left in 2014?
Yeah. 2013, actually.
2013.
Yeah.
And then, so how did the next thing happen?
So
'cause that was kind of out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, it was. I definitely felt like it was out of nowhere. We had done some tours with Breaking Ben. And what's funny is, like, ironically, also my first band, Copper, we had opened up some shows for Breaking Ben. So
oh, really?
I had opened up for them in two different bands. Mm. And so, like, you know, I kind of wrote this just kind of this letter on Facebook that was, you know, just kind of a resignation slash thank you slash, you know, I don't know, sort of just message, right. Really just kind of get the word out and thank all the, you know, my former bandmates and management and everything for all the support and you know, posted it up and I got a message from Ben and he just said, hey man, you know, I'm starting to kind of get this band back together and starting to get it fired up. I'm, you know, wanted to know if you'd be interested in, you know, sending me some videos of you playing and singing. So I was just like, holy shit. Okay.
Yeah.
And
was there even like a second thought with that or were you just like, nah, I'm doing this?
You know, it's funny. It's like, I had just kind of like finished putting out like this little EP of mine. It was like a solo EP.
Mm-hmm.
Was
that the Allies EP?
Yeah, it was. And I started kind of talking with some friends of mine about possibly starting another band. But it was one of those things where it was a no-brainer. I'm like, I'm obviously super interested in, you know, trying out for Breaking Ben and see where it goes. And So I, you know, got on the phone with him and we kind of worked some stuff out. I'll send him some vids and, you know, if things are, things are going well, then I eventually fly out and, you know, do the real deal.
Right. And that's crazy though. It's just, again, just a random phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty wild.
I mean, that must be really great to, I mean, personally, I guess I'd be really flattered that someone reforming their band would think of me, you know?
That is you nailed it. I was completely flattered, completely surprised that he even remembered me or knew who I was from touring together. So,
but clearly you must have made some sort of impact.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's really cool. I like that. But yeah, so you end up kind of joining and I guess I'm curious of what the experience of that was, being that the band was kind of, yeah, like reforming, re-announcing itself, right? So yeah, what was that like for you also being like a new member?
It was exciting. It was super exciting. You know, plus, you know, well, a little bit of time went by after I kind of sent my videos in. You know, Ben wrote back. He's just like, "Oh, these are great, man. You sound great. You know, I'll be in touch." And I didn't really hear anything for a long time. Like,
oh, really?
I'd say it was probably like, I don't know, 5 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So in between that time, I basically just kind of resolved to the fact that I guess I didn't get it. So I just, you know, got a job and you know, I figured, I was like, well, you know, I'll just try and focus on writing and, you know, see where that gets me. And then Jason, who's the other guitar player for Breaking Ben, I've known him for years, like back when he was in Red. And I believe Copper opened some shows with them. And he's always been super nice. He hit me up out of the blue and was just like, "Yo, would you ever consider joining another band?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was just like, "Well, what if the band was Breaking Benjamin?" And I was just like, "Okay, well, that's funny. I talked to Ben, you know, a little bit back, and he was just like, "Yeah, we're, you know, I think he's wanting to really kind of get together in a room and see if we can just start doing this." So I was just like, "Oh, wow." So then that started the whole thing. That's when things really got serious. You know, before, yeah, I kind of was like, I was excited about it. But, you know, after I kind of didn't hear back for a while, you know, I didn't press the issue. I wasn't going to write back or anything and be like, "Hey, you still, you know, whatever."
So, right. Yeah. I would have done the same. I would have assumed the same thing, that it was just kind of, either found someone else or they're not doing it anymore.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was going down. And
did they ever tell you what took so long?
No, I believe they were just
taking their time too.
Yeah, I think they were kind of just figuring things out, and because it was a big thing, it was a big move on Ben's part. So I'm sure he wanted to make sure he got it right. So
yeah,
and I completely understand that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. So you end up just in Breaking Ben on a whim after a tryout and then 5 months of waiting. And then what happened after that? Like, what was it, like a big first tour that was like the announce, or did you get straight to writing?
Even before that, once we all got in a room and, you know, started rehearsing, it was still not a for sure done deal. You know, I felt like it was a very long kind of tryout / get to know each other phase. And you know, during that time we rehearsed a lot and then we booked a couple shows there in Pennsylvania where the band formed. And once we played those first two shows, that's when I was like, okay, this is real.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think we, a lot of the album, that we came back with, a lot of it was written. Except I think we needed one more song and I think we all just kind of helped out a little bit on the writing of that. And that was really the only writing I got involved with, on the first album. But even that, for being such a new member, I was just completely blown away about how Ben was open to it. And
yeah,
you know, wanting to include us. So I was super grateful, and it was super
awesome. Is he kind of like previously or even now, I guess, is he the main writer in it, in the band?
Yeah, definitely. You know, yeah. he is the sound. It's his vision. It's his baby, you know? So, you know, I guess going forward with that, you know, I just try to kind of honor his legacy and his music and his sound with whatever I bring to the table.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think me and you are in similar situations, whereas like I'm a writer, like I write for a lot of other artists. I know you are a writer. You have your solo project, but we're also writers supporting, you know, the vision of someone else in different things too, which is I actually find that really gratifying and entertaining, like to be able to do that, like try to focus in on someone else's vision and create something that they would create, you know?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I'm trying to write anything that anyone would like. So
yeah,
you know, it's if this really, really great accomplished songwriter happens to like something that I bring to the table, you know, it's awesome.
Right, right. Well, that's pretty cool, man. And at the same time that this whole thing Breaking Ben was happening, you had just released your first solo EP, right? And that was, forgive me if I'm getting this wrong, I did listen to a bunch of tracks on a bunch of these, but was this the one that was mostly acoustic-y kind of piano stuff?
Yeah, yep, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Did that kind of take an immediate back seat?
I mean, it's kind of one of those things. It's like I'm kind of an unknown kind of artist anyway. Mm-hmm. So I believe it was just in a backseat in itself.
I gotcha. So this is more like these songs that you release under your own name or at first, I guess, or maybe even now, are kind of just like for you, right? Like they're songs that you had and you just want to put them out.
Well, I think the first effort, Allies, that was definitely just I'm learning how to record and, oh, these songs kind of sound kind of cool. I guess I'll put them out, you know, that kind of thing. But I think more so now, I really want to develop a solo career also in addition to being in Breaking Benjamin.
Well, let's talk about your solo career a little bit because this is where I kind of nerd out. So I listened to a bunch of stuff. I definitely I listened to the new single that you just put out a few days ago. That's Dream Away, right?
Yep.
So talk to me about like influences here, because I definitely, when I was listening through a bunch of your stuff, I was hearing like almost, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I hear influences like in a timeline here based on your releases.
Ooh,
you know?
Let's hear it.
Well, I definitely... you got me on the new one like almost immediately because I'm a sucker for that like that arpeggiated synth bass stuff. I am such a sucker for like the Stranger Things era sound.
Mm-hmm.
So you immediately got me there, and then on the other I heard like R&B on what was that the cover that was, it was more colorful. I'll bring it up. Summer Sunday. It was kind of like R&B-ish and like, I don't know. It definitely, I hear like a bunch of different things across it, but I'm super into these songs.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I as far as my influences, I'm you know, I grew up in the 80s. I've always loved 80s music, 80s synth pop.
I'm a huge sucker for synth pop.
Yeah, I love it. And you know, obviously, you know, the staples like Metallica and stuff like that. I don't know. It's funny. I don't even really think about it that much. I don't really go out to, man, I want a song that sounds like this per se. I don't know.
You just write a song.
Yeah, and I mean, and my producer that produced this latest album, his name's Joe Rickard, and super talented guy. He did a lot of super cool sounds and synth stuff that I just loved. So he was a big part of a lot of these sounds.
That's cool. Joe Rickard?
Oh, I found him.
I always like to research when when I'm in these two. Oh, so he
did
worked
he play
with,
drums for Red?
Yes, he did.
I think that's how I know him.
Yep, he played drums for Red, and
In Flames. That's
yeah,
right.
And In Flames, right?
Right, and he worked with Howard Benson. That's pretty cool. Nice.
Yeah, super, super talented producer, writer, drummer. It's kind of funny. I was just like, "Damn, Joe, is there anything you can't do?"
Yeah, like, he's just one of those dudes. He just touches stuff and it's good.
Yeah, and just super awesome, awesome dude. Really good friend. Yeah.
That's great. So what's next for the solo project? Like, what's the goal with this stuff?
Well, the goal is to try to expose my music to as many people as I can.
Is this something that you want to, like, take out on the road?
I think so, yeah, eventually, you know, whenever that's a thing. Obviously, schedule permitting with my other band. I really would eventually love to get out and play some of these songs out there. And
Have you toured with it before?
I have not. I've played a few, just kind of a handful of solo shows, acoustic,
just like here, acoustic stuff?
Yeah, just here and there. But nothing major.
If you were to do it, is that something where you would put together like a full band?
I think so, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like it could be a lot of these songs could be like really fun live.
Yeah, I hope so. Hopefully I could do them live. That's one thing. Kind of it's like when you record a song and you kind of go for it, you're like, oh, shit, hope I can do this.
You know, what's funny is I was recording this artist yesterday and we were talking about how sometimes you just, or he was saying like, you know, it's just sometimes you just got to get in a room with people and just like play it out and like figure it out that way. And I was like, honestly, dude, I believe you and you're right. And I'm embarrassed to say this, but thinking about it, I don't think I've done that for like 10 years.
Like, wow.
I really don't think I've like, cause everything I do is just on the computer now.
Yeah.
You know? And I just can't, even when I like, even with like Ice Nine stuff, like practicing and everything, we did like one day of practice and it was mostly just for vocal stuff, you know, just because we spend so much time dialing down parts alone on the computer and everything.
Oh yeah, definitely. Same here. I'm, you know, the majority of work I do is just on the computer, but, it's definitely fun to get in the room and try to hash things out.
I miss doing that stuff.
Yeah. It either goes really well or you're just like, damn, we need some work on this. You
know? Right, right. And it also just like, for me personally, I know that I've gotten worse at guitar in the last like 2 years just because I haven't. I mean, personally, Grant, I don't write a lot of music that has guitar in it. But when I do, it's like I feel stupid on it now. Like I just don't have the dexterity anymore that I used to. But I'm better at bass. So
right on.
There's that. All right, man. Well, cool. So we'll definitely tack a bunch of those songs onto this episode too, so people will be able to hear them and everything. Let's jump back. Let's go to kind of moving forward. With any projects that you're involved in, what do you guys have that you can either talk about or allude to or maybe nothing now that, you know, I'm finding that more and more bands are kind of like taking that leap into trying to put something together or at least starting to consider options and everything right now.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely been a tough year, a lot of time to kind of think about what the hell you're going to do. And you know, a lot of that time has been spent writing, at least for me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as far as Breaking Band, we're always kind of just writing. We're always kind of sending ideas back and forth, but really, everybody's just kind of been kind of focused on their own kind of individual, projects. So it's been cool. And it's been nice, you know, as crappy as it is, to be forced to be home and not tour, it's, you know, I've tried to look at the positive side, which is like, oh man, I would have never had this time to kind of work on this music. So
yeah, that's
so that's
true.
Been good.
I mean, if I think I've created some of the best stuff I have in this off time, but I'm ready to go back
yeah.
at this point.
Yeah, it's like, all right, okay.
Yeah, it's enough of that. We have something booked in May that there's no way is going to happen. It's like a festival date in England. But other than that, I mean, it sucked because the last thing we were supposed to do was that Five Finger tour, and then that fell apart, and now, you know, it just blew because that was like the first arena tour we were doing. You know?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were looking forward to it, but hopefully that stuff happens again. I'm looking forward to eventually, I think inevitably we'll end up doing at least festival dates together again. I'm sure.
Yeah. That'd be awesome, man.
Yeah. We'll get some hangs in this time too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's go from here. The way we usually wrap up the episodes, is just one or two, entertaining tour stories that you might have. It can be about anyone, yourself, whoever, as long as they're cool with it being mentioned. But you have quite a career here, so it might take some time to pick through the years.
The one that instantly pops in my head is, and I mean, we've probably mentioned this in various other interviews, but it's just so good and/slash embarrassing that it just has to be done. Okay. So, this was our first major tour back as a band, Breaking Benjamin. We were playing Rock on the Range, and they had these, and it was main stage, so they had these kind of little trailers kind of backstage that, you know, it was like the green rooms for yeah, some artists.
Like little camper trailers, right?
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't get the you know, the main headliner kind of concrete back, you know, green rooms, you're in these other little trailers. Anyway, it was about 10 minutes before we go on, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, something like that. You know, we're in one of these trailers and we go to walk out and the door is stuck.
Oh my.
And we are just like, dude, this door is not opening. And I mean,
this is like a real Spinal Tap moment.
It could not have been scripted any better. And we are sitting there pulling on this thing and it is just not open. I mean, it is just locked and like deadbolted. And, you know, luckily there was a window and we were like shouting out and we were like, hey, we're locked in here. Like, hey, we're like waving our arms out this window and like, you know, get somebody.
Oh my God. Were you trying to get to stage or something?
Yeah, we were like we were just like 5 minutes away from, you know, putting our guitars on and walking out and, you know, playing our song, our first song. And
wow.
So, you know, I'm stressed because, you know, here we are, these new guys in this, you know, very well-known band kind of coming back, you know, trying to make a great first impression. And you know, here we are dealing with this and I'm just like, holy shit, you know? So if I wasn't nervous before that, the nerve was shot after that.
Yeah. That's a great way to rattle you before the set.
Right. Exactly. And so finally, eventually, you know, some people come running over with, you know, radios and walkie talkies and keys and all this stuff. And they're sitting there frantically trying to get this door open. You know, none of the keys are working. You know, people are kind of standing around with their phones up, recording it. I'm like, okay. Of course, that's great. And finally, we had to crawl out of the window.
Oh, wow.
So we crawled out of the window. Oh, my God. Ben went first. And then I think I went second. And then he literally, like, carried me down off the window. Like, it was so funny. I'm just like, hey, thanks, man.
That is so good. That's amazing. Did you make it on time?
We finally got out and, you know, with like 2 minutes to spare, run over to the stage, throw our guitars on. And then, of course, you know, we're playing wireless. I've got just horrible RF in my ears and wireless. And I'm just like, dude, this is not happening.
Oh, that's the worst.
And, you know, guitar tech runs over, you know, oh, let me see your pack. Let me rescan it. You know, rescans it, gets it done. And luckily fixed it right before. So props to him. Props to Nick Teamy for getting that done. He was
those wireless things. so often do I just wish I consider just going back to being plugged in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. And plus, you know, with those big festivals like that, you know, everybody's just fighting for the same space on that
yeah.
you know, channel or signal or whatever. So it's tough, but, yeah, finally got it to work, went out and played, and it was fine. But man, when that was done, I was just like, I think I just lost maybe a couple years of my life there with the stress. Jeez.
Those festival shows, man, there's always – do you remember the – I think it was the day that we played together, that crazy storm that like shut down the festival?
Yeah, like later on in the day.
I don't think I've ever seen a storm like that.
I definitely have not.
That was insane. Like lightning every half a second.
Yeah, it was. That was crazy. I remember the sky just looked green. It was like before it hit.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not that. Normal.
I have a great video from that day, actually, because I remember everyone backstage was kind of just hanging out in like, I don't know, some paved area, like a centrally located area right behind the stage.
Yep.
And everyone was outside looking at the sky. And I had just a video of myself wearing like this white floral shirt and every single person, like no exaggeration, every single person, like hundreds of people around me were all wearing black and looking up at the sky. It's a great video.
That's about right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. Well, that's a great story. That's like a classic rock tour story. Just like can't get to the stage.
Yeah, it's true. It's on video somewhere, I'm sure.
Oh, man, that's great. All right, man. Well, listen, and thank you so much for spending your morning with us. I appreciate you coming on. Anything that you want to shout out or share where people can find you, your music, before we wrap up here?
Sure, yeah. You know, hey, by the way, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely.
Really appreciate it, man.
Of course.
New single Dream Away is out now on all the digital outlets, and there's going to be more tunes coming soon. I'm going to have the video for Dream Away here in about a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Nice.
So look out for that.
Yeah, and end it our way. We'll make sure we post it up.
Oh, I appreciate it. I will for sure.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, thank you again. And hopefully we get to kick it soon and play some shows.
Oh, dude, thank you. I hope so.
Hey, you. Do you have any plans this year? How's that going? Did you get 2020'd? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020'd, where myself, Benny Goodman, And my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.